Welcome to the Awesome Endeavors Podcast. Here's your host, Hip Slope Mama.
Hi, welcome to Hip Slope Mama Podcast. This is Melissa, and today it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Paulette Kaufman-Sherman. She is a licensed psychologist and the owner of My Dating School in Manhattan, where she facilitates classes on dating. The website is www.mydatingschool.com. She also writes a monthly dating column called Dr. Date in the Improper, a popular New York lifestyle and entertainment magazine. She's been quoted in many publications, including Glamour. Dr. Sherman is a regular speaker at the Learning Annex. She's been a dating expert on radio and television and has coached many private clients on creating successful relationships. In addition to all that, she is a Brooklyn author. Her new book entitled Dating from the Inside Out, How to Use the Laws of Attraction in Matters of the Heart can be ordered online at Amazon.com. Dr. Sherman, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to hand the mic over to you so you can introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your background, and why you started My Dating School.
Okay, thank you. Well, as you said, I'm a licensed psychologist, and I work in Manhattan. And I also went to a life coaching program, and I specialize in dating. And I think the reason I started My Dating School is because I started to attract a lot of clients, at first mostly women in their 20s and 30s that were attractive, had their life together, had good families, had great friends, and were just really frustrated, almost given up because they kept repeating the same patterns over and over again with the men that they chose. And I could see how frustrating it was. And often they would sit there and they would all say the same things and think they were the only one. They would say, that all their friends have a relationship or there's no one to go out with and they feel like they're the only ones, or that maybe they should just stop dating. And, it's one thing for me to tell them that a lot of what they're feeling is normal and that it's important to learn about your patterns and to understand where they come from. But I think it was another level to actually have other people in the class sharing their experiences, because a lot of times when someone tells their story, you can really hear yourself in it, and you can also meet people who are going through similar things to maybe go out with, to singles events and things like that. And so I started to see dating as a learning experience, not just something you have to get through in order to get married. And my classes were a result of that.
That's great. I think that's really a really key point, that dating is a learning experience, and a lot of people don't look at it that way. Your new book is entitled Dating from the Inside Out. What does that mean?
I called it Dating from the Inside Out because, in my experience, a lot of dating books, such as The Rules in particular, but a lot of dating experts speak about changing your appearance, how to manipulate, what to say, sort of universal rules that you should play act rather than be yourself. So it's a big focus on the outside and affecting the other person outside in order to get what you want. And what I really wanted to do, I think as a psychologist, was to show that at least 75% probably of what goes on first happens inside, and we don't know that. So, for example, a lot of times people will say, this person never called me again. What was it about me? What did I do? Right? And sometimes it could be something about you, but a lot of times it could be something about their dating psychology. For example, maybe they had a controlling mother and you're very mellow and fun. You don't match their unconscious type, so they're not going to call you again. Or maybe they tend to be really ambivalent in relationships and they get scared, or they have this pattern of having a great date and then not calling. You don't know. So a lot of times we blame ourselves, but we don't really understand where that other person's coming from, or vice versa. We end up acting out the same thing again and again, and we don't really understand why we're doing it. So I think my book is different from a lot of books because it focuses on our dating psychology and understanding what we create inside is what we get outside.
It is important to have a forum where you can share your thoughts about your dating experiences and to have someone there acting as a springboard and bringing different perspective to what it is that you're going through. From your experience with My Dating School, why would someone pay for dating classes or coaching?
My experience is that in this lifetime, we pay for what we value. And it's funny how there's so much stigma around that because, even when it comes to psychotherapy, I think that's changing. But people will say, why do I have to pay someone to care about me or to talk to me? But that's not what it's about. I mean, you're paying a professional, somebody who can see what you can't see, to really help you to become the best you can be, and that affects every area of your life. So we're coming to accept that about therapy now, and to be a lot more open about it. But when it comes to our love lives, we look at the movies and it's like you're on the subway and you meet someone when you least expect it and there's music playing and, you know, you don't have to do anything. And it's great when that happens. Sometimes that will happen, you know, especially when you're younger and you have a lot of different ways to meet people. But in this society, a lot of times we're working. We have so many different areas that we have to work on. We have to be a daughter, a friend, a worker, you know. And we don't dedicate a lot of time to getting out there and meeting people. And so it doesn't always just happen easily. And we have this myth that it should. So number one, we don't want to put in any action or effort. And also, we don't think we should have to pay for it. We shouldn't have to get advice. You know, we shouldn't have to get coaching if that's an area that's hard for us. We shouldn't have to pay to get online to, you know, actually meet people or pay for an event. So we end up being very passive, and then we say, why is everyone happy but us? Why has everyone met people? And I think it's a real defeatist myth, and it doesn't really empower people to take action and to create what they want. So I try to encourage people. I mean, there are dating sites that are free. There are ways around it, but it's sort of a limiting belief that really stops you from having all the resources that would help you in this area.
You make a really good point. I've been there. I think a lot of us have been there when we're single and we're dating. It just seems like we're not getting anywhere. How does being a psychologist add to your power, to your niche as a dating coach?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. I feel it adds a lot of power because as a dating coach, you might be looking at external results. So you might say, oh, this is how you flirt, or you should talk about this less and ask him this more. And it's sort of superficial. You may get the results you want, sort of in the rules. You may get married. But in the end, sometimes what happens is someone turns around a year later and says, who are you? You know, and then we wonder why 50% of people get divorced. So it's not teaching you to really be authentic. It's sort of teaching you to play a game to get a result. And I think my book and sort of my philosophy is much deeper. It's about helping people like themselves more and be themselves more and really introduce, like, what's important in the beginning, you know, when you're dating. So that hopefully, I mean, there's always things you're going to learn and there's always challenges in marriage anyway. But hopefully you're getting into it with some idea who this other person is, for one. And also learning about yourself and what works for you and what stops you, because you're going to need that in any relationship. So I think that was something that's missing, because dating coaches know a lot about external action, but they don't look at the inside piece. And psychologists, I haven't really read any books by psychologists about dating, because they kind of don't look at it often as a serious subject. So they might talk about marriage or other things, but it's been largely neglected in the field. So I felt like I kind of bridged the gap, since I'm both, to kind of look at the inside and how it leads to the outside.
In your book, you talk a lot about learning about yourself and learning to love yourself, and you come up with a list of different dating types.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you have a defensive dating type. How would someone find out their type?
It's actually really easy. If they buy my book, which you already told them, you can go on Amazon or go to any Barnes & Noble or Borders, there's a quiz in there, and it basically asks 5 questions for every type. And if you get more than 3 yeses, then you're that type. But it is a continuum, and I'll give you some examples of the types. So you could be that type to some extent, and you could even be more than one type. So it's kind of interesting to see. And what a defensive dating type is it's a way that we protect ourselves from being hurt when it comes to love. So I'll give you some examples. Let's say the romantic dater, you know, with the romantic dater, and I may have called it something else in my book, but we'll use that now. It's sort of like you meet somebody and you find them really attractive and you have a great time and you're already imagining on the first date that you're in a Volvo with them with your 3 children, you know, and you're married. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's something that many women do, right? Because, it's nice to have that piece of yourself that's sort of like a poet. But what happens if you're really like that, and often you won't even know their last name, you won't learn anything about them because you're not really listening, you're kind of just writing your own script. And so the good part is that you're very optimistic and you have a lot of love to give and you're ready to jump right in, but the downside of it is that you're not really present and you don't let it unfold and really see the facts, so it ends up hitting you in the butt on the way out later, you know? And how does that protect somebody? Well, in a way, it allows you to live in your own fantasy rather than be disappointed. Unfortunately, in the end, the truth will out anyway. So that's one type. And I actually have 15 types, so there are many of them. Another one that's sort of opposite that would be the proud dater. And that type of person would be somebody who says, you know, I don't really need men anyway. They just want a girl, could be Susie next door, and yeah, everything's going well, but he doesn't really care about me. So she might hold back and never really let the guy know how much she cares. And in my experience with clients like this, this will work a lot in the beginning because men love it. Like, they don't need a commitment. You know, they're very independent, so it's not threatening, and it's very challenging. But after a while, what happens is they want to feel special. And they say, I don't feel any investment of emotion. I don't feel any attachment here, you know, like I need that. And they might move on. And this type of defensive style will protect that person from being hurt, supposedly, right? But it also doesn't let them really invest. So in the end, it ends up sabotaging what could be a really great intimate relationship. So we all have different things, and I think the point is not to beat ourselves up because it is pretty universal. It's just to kind of laugh at it and say, how do I do that? And then what is one baby step that I could begin to counteract? So if I know, like, I'm a proud dater, I could say to myself, you know, I'm going to express appreciation on my next date and say, you know, I really had a great time, and I really liked XYZ about you, instead of be cold, you know?
Yeah. Well, I really like that idea about taking baby steps when it comes to dating, because I think a lot of people go all in and don't really take a step back to analyze the situation themselves and their styles. So I think that's really, really useful. Is there any correlation between dating well and marital status?
You mean marital satisfaction or?
Oh, I'm sorry. Any correlation between dating and marital success?
I was going to say there might be between marital status and dating, too, but I would hope. But I think that there is. I mean, I think one thing I say in my learning analytics class is that no one seems to, like, always get a face, is that, you know, people always say, oh, my life is hell with dating. I just want to be married. Like, I'll do anything just to get married. And I look at them and, you know, I'm the naysayer. I'm not saying what Hollywood says, but I say, you know, dating is a lot of work. But if you think dating is a lot of work, marriage is a lot of work, too. And that's the last thing they want to hear, you know? But I think my philosophy or my experience is, I mean, things are fun also, and there's a lot of good in everything. But most things that you really care about in life are going to be work. So having said that, I think if you do the work of dating, you're not going in blind. You're not going in just on feelings, and you're not going in being fake and just trying to win someone over. So some of that work is already done. Of course, it takes a while to get to know someone, so you're still going to be learning that, and you're still going to have to work on yourself and learn about yourself. But part of why I wrote this book is I think if you begin to do that in dating and kind of get used to that process, then it's easier to continue it when you're married, right? But if you go in with the philosophy of, like, having read the rules and you're pretending to be a certain way just to catch the guy, then you're really starting from ground zero. Neither of you know who each other are. So that's kind of scary.
How can people transform dating from a miserable process to a transformative one?
Well, I think a lot of it is context and also your psychology about dating. So there are different aspects that I guide people to look at. One is your past baggage, because I can't tell you how many times, you know, I'll use women for a minute, they'll tell their girlfriends, oh, men don't want relationships, or men stink, or, you know, all they want is sex, or whatever it is. And then they go on a date, and they're smiling, but really that's what they're vibrating. And I'm not saying that there's no truth to that, just like there might be a modicum of truth to men want women under 35. But that doesn't mean everyone over 35 shouldn't date, you know, because there's got to be some men out there, and there are, you know, that would totally love a woman who's like 37. So what we do is we take something that maybe we experience, and we generalize it and let it handicap us going forward. So that's why dating becomes a miserable process. That's one reason, is because we've already decided it before we even walk out the door. So we need to look at our beliefs about dating, about the opposite sex, and about relationships so that we can kind of clear the decks of that baggage, which I'm not saying is easy, and develop something that will work for us. And I give different examples in my book, but, you know, one would be like if somebody had, this is a hard one, but was a widow and lost a husband. You know, obviously, her belief might be, I'll never meet anyone again that I could love. So maybe a baby step in a better belief would be, I deserve to go out and have fun, you know, and share myself with someone. it doesn't mean that we'll replace her husband, but at least allows for the possibility that she could go out and meet other people. So I think something like a context shift like that can be very powerful and take you from something miserable to something transformative. In addition, you know, people look at dating as a waste of time if they don't get married or if they don't meet the one. But if you're learning from every dating experience about yourself and about other people, what you like and what you don't like, then that is transformative. And it's not just based on the results. It's based on the process. So those are just a few examples, but I go into more in my book.
So you're pretty much saying that if you have a vision of something successful or a possibility, then that could work towards that vision and ultimately manifest what it is that you want. So if you have a vision of a successful date, then you can work towards that. What makes a successful date?
What makes a successful date? That's a good one. Yeah, I agree with what you said. And I think what was a successful date to me, one of the things about my book is that I really try to make it personal to every reader. I don't tell everyone what to think, sort of. But what it was to me when I was dating was that I just wanted to go out. I wanted to have fun, whether it be a new restaurant, a new person, and learn something from the other person and be myself and share something about myself. And I had a great time dating. And, you know, it didn't always work out with that it was a match. Sometimes I actually ended up being friends with the guys, which I know a lot of dating experts say is a no-no. You know, actually, a few guys that I dated just briefly ended up coming to my wedding, you know, I became friends with them because it wasn't a serious relationship. So I believe that you meet people for all different reasons. And if you have a good attitude about it, it can be a lot of fun, you know. But it's when we take it as a personal rejection about ourselves that it becomes miserable. So I think part of what makes a date successful is having a good attitude, having a good context, and, you know, and trying to learn something new and positive from every experience so that it doesn't seem like a waste of time.
That's great. Now, drawing this back to your My Dating School, which you are the owner of, what is a dating action plan, and how does a dating support group and dating coaching make it successful?
A dating action plan is usually, to put it simply, picking three actions, and it can be different for each person, that you'll do a week. Sometimes even if you want to start out slower, you can pick two, and holding yourself accountable. And the reason I came up with this is because a lot of times in my class, I'll say, how much do you want a relationship from 0 to 10, 10 being the highest, and they'll say an 11. And I'll say, okay, great, and if we looked at your dating resume over the past month, what number would you be in terms of your action? And invariably, they'll say 2. You know, I went to a bar twice or something, you know, or once last month. So there's a disconnect there. You know, it's kind of like I wish and hope that I'd meet the one, but I don't really want to put myself out there. So just like with anything, you have to kind of walk your talk. So where a dating coach comes in is they'll say to you, okay, what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? How are you going to hold yourself accountable? And in theory, you could do this with another single friend as a team. It doesn't necessarily have to be a dating coach, but it's good to have somebody who's going to really check on you and keep, you know, when you don't really feel, you have a million excuses and you don't really feel like going out and standing there at a singles event, who's going to, you know, kind of cheerlead you on to go out and do it and to learn something from it. Because it does get easier, just like anything. So that's what a dating action plan is. And it kind of, even when you don't feel like it, it kind of keeps you consistent and working towards your goal.
Wow, that is great advice. I personally read your book, and I think it's fantastic. It's the perfect combination of psychology and spirituality and just great advice for people who really want to get something out of dating. So thank you so much for joining us again, Paulette.
Thank you, Melissa. My pleasure.
You've been great.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for the Awesome Endeavors podcast with your host, Hip Slope Mama. Be sure to visit www.hipslopemama.blogspot.com for fun and interesting information about a variety of women's topics, including lifestyle, career, innovation, real estate, environmental issues, feminism, spirituality, fashion, and family. And be sure to let us know what you think at hipslopemama@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening to the Awesome Endeavors podcast.